Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is indeed second to none. Led by the barrels and by the dills. I would say stock up for the weekend, but I can't consciously say because of the Pro Bowl. Just stock up for the weekend because it's good.
We can stock up for the NHL All-Star Game. Oh, wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you're still not helping.
I know.
All right.
So. just going through the options.
First of all, you just want to go to Brewers Outlet. It's really cool.
Yes.
Okay, let's start with that.
Since there's no big games, you got extra time to get in there and check it out. Awesome.
And you can start stocking up for the Super Bowl now. There you go. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
With 5 seconds to go. Now, Penn State has a lot of time here. Into Stevens. Back to Carr. Carr down the floor.
What is
for
he
three
doing?
To win the game. Banks it in. And the Nittany Lions at the wire win it. 82-79 as Tony Carr banks in a three-pointer from 30 feet. And the Nittany Lions win it at the wire.
All right. Your normal college basketball finish as heard here on WKOK. All right, let's bring in the Pickle King now.
Who made the call? You never said who made the call.
We'll make
I'm
that
just
a mystery.
I'm just a listener, man. I don't know. You know, it's, I'm like, oh, that's a good call. Who made it?
We'll have to look it up.
come on, it's your show. Who made the call?
I don't have the script in front of me.
Play it again.
Yeah, play it again. Name that tune. That was a good call. Good job.
So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. So
what are we picking this week?
The Pro Bowl?
That's it? We're going to spend a half hour on that worthless meeting?
The best call of the week.
I can find it.
I got a little bone to pick.
Well, let's see. I know you got Virginia and Duke. That's hoops tomorrow at 2. We could pick that. Maybe one or two college games I can find.
Well, I'll tell you, Virginia, is there any team in basketball that plays its style of game better than they do? I mean, they grind the game down. They play brilliant defense. They really take the game, and they put it into a phone booth.
I think they're overdue to have a deep run in March Madness. Wouldn't you think, too?
Oh, boy.
It just seems like they don't get far.
Well, I think part of it is style of play, because if they get behind in a game... Now, remember, I know they play really good teams during the course of the year... Well, it also means that at some point in playing really good teams, you're going to fall behind. And Virginia is the equivalent of the running football team that, as long as they're in front, they can control the clock and control the field position. That's a lot of how Virginia plays. Conversely, if you get the running team behind and put them out of their comfort level and force them to throw... or in this case, force Virginia to play a little faster than they want to, it gets them out of kilter. So they need to play with the lead in order to be effective. It's a stunning thing. Howard Eskin? Hmm. Howard Eskin is a long, long time Philadelphia TV and radio host. And he's also the sideline announcer with Merrill Reese on the Eagles radio network.
Well, that explains his moronic comments. So, I got a problem with all this negativity about the Super Bowl and about the Patriots, and I am not a Patriot fan.
But I know
this guy, if he's going to come up with the comments he comes up with, and they're being played publicly, he has no facts to go behind them. He's just calling the Patriots a bunch of cheaters, and he said, watch the game last week, the referee patting Tom Brady on the back before the game. Well, what he didn't report is that referee does it every game to every quarterback. He didn't say part. You know, and I'm tired of the fake reporting, and this goes back to the Paterno stuff. Just making stuff up to cause a fuss, and that's just poor reporting. I don't know who he is. I never heard of him, but he sucks at his job. So,
I'm not going to comment on that. On that specifically, but I will comment on over the years. This is what I think changed news. News to me changed dramatically the second that organizations found out they could make money from it.
Yeah.
The second they found out they could make money from it, it turned news or sports into a show. When they turned it into a show, now you had to make it as interesting as possible to hook as many people into the stories that you report, whether it's news or sports or weather or whatever. And you've had to make it as interesting as possible because you need as many people as possible watching or listening or reading, which then in turn you can go to advertisers and say, look how many viewers we have, look how many listeners we have, look how many readers we have, where the job of reporting the news or the sports news or weather and doing it with complete accuracy, where the person listening or reading or watching has a complete trust that there's no agenda except you telling me what happened, you feel like that in some areas has gone by the boards because getting hooks and interest and getting you to watch, read, or listen is far more important than the accuracy and the integrity of the reporting.
Oh, I agree. It's sad. It's sad. How many people commented on the Joe Paterno things who never read the report? Never read any of it, maybe the first paragraph, and then had all these expert opinions on it, yet they never read a word of it, you know? Read the facts, read the reports, then make your moronic comments, you know? I personally am tired of it, because I listen to sports radio, I listen to New York, Boston, Pennsylvania, all of them, and they're getting so negative. Just let these guys go out and play the football game. You know, I may pick Philadelphia. I'd be happy if Philly won. It's got nothing to do with Philadelphia. It's just the negativity. Why does everyone hate Tom Brady? What has Tom Brady ever done to make anyone hate him? And these guys hate him. You know?
Well, and that's why, for example, I read the full Wells report on quote Deflategate.
Right.
I wanted to sit down and read it. And when you read it, you look at it and go, "What the heck is this?"
Exactly. I read the Wells report.
I read every word of it and looked at it when I was done. And no offense to the Wells group, but my opinion was after reading what they wrote, it was a piece of junk.
Yes, it was so irresponsible. It was just a, quote, witch hunt. Ha-ha, we got him. What's Tom Brady ever done? Has he been, you got this Levitar guy down there in Florida sending out questions like, why is Tom Brady so healthy now? You know, insinuating that he's taking steroids. Now, why don't you just say, I think Tom Brady's taking steroids? No, he's going to let somebody else do that, but he's going to throw it out there so all the morons in the world can say, aha, That's why he's so healthy. Maybe he does just take care of his body. Because he made the comment, what, he doesn't eat bananas, so he's so healthy now? It's like, oh, my God.
Well,
people pay you to do your job? I wouldn't pay you a penny.
And what's interesting is that you don't have to reveal it. But we have no idea, for example, just out of rotation, how many times, let's say, Tom Brady's been drug tested. All right? Terrence Newman, for example.
I'm sure he has been.
Right, I'm saying, but it, you know, nobody puts it out there. But Terrence Newman for the Vikings, who's 39, who took almost every snap that he could take this year as a fifth defensive back, like over 500 of them, revealed he's been tested three times in a month because he's healthy and he's 39 years old. He's been tested three times in a month because they want to know. Now, he put that out there.
Yeah.
So, players,
how many quarterbacks in the NFL have played into their 40s?
Not a lot.
Well, there is a lot. The number's 21. And you've got Drew Brees right behind Tom Brady at
just
the age
39.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, if you take care of yourself also, this is a different era of football, where the quarterback is protected a little bit better, so he's not going to get hurt like they used to get hurt. But just because a guy takes care of his body, he goes to work, he goes home to his kids and his wife, and he lives a clean life, now there's got to be something wrong with it. And we're going to make sure we bring it to light.
My goal, if I take care of myself, I'll be here on the radio until at least I'm 60. So that, working on it.
I'm trying to work on it, but the Hershey bars are killing me, man.
But you're doing so well.
I am still doing well.
Good.
So, but every once in a while, the stress of this place gets to me, and I got to get. Have you tried the new Hershey one? It's the cream pretzel?
Yes.
Or caramel pretzel?
Yeah, it's like caramel cream, yes.
Oh, my God. Is that thing good?
It's kind of like a. Deb told me it's kind of like tasting. It's like a Boyer's smoothie, like a butterscotch smoothie.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I eat one of them, I have a moment, you know. It's like, everything's okay. Just like staring out the window. It's a blue sky, you know. But anyway, I had to get that off my chest. Let them play the game. I've never seen a Super Bowl with so much negativity. That they just, like, hatred for nothing, you know. You don't even know these people. The Patriots are good at what they do. I mean, they don't make mistakes. They play the game 60 minutes, and they don't, you know, yeah, everyone's tired of them winning all the time, but go beat them, you know? Beat them.
Well, there are times the Patriots remind me of the tennis player who stays on the baseline and keeps returning everything you hit. And then you finally get frustrated and go for a big play and you miss.
Yeah, yeah. No, the Pittsburgh game was a good example. And I know it was by rule the right call when Jesse James crossed the line. But, okay, they still had 2 to 3 more shots and they could have kicked the field goal. Instead, they went for a fake spike and the Patriots were ready for it. And that's the Patriots. They were ready for it. You never
like
should have done that play.
Just like they were ready in the Super Bowl against Seattle on that play. They had practiced it earlier in the week.
I mean, those are simple little things that are really hard for teams to accomplish. And, you know, that Jacksonville Patriot game was a lot tougher than people realized beforehand. I forgot about it. But Jacksonville and the Patriots spent a week together in preseason.
Right.
So Jacksonville was not intimidated at all. They knew what they were going up against personally because they spent a week going up against these guys. And not many people talked about it beforehand. I think Nance brought it up during the broadcast. And I completely forgot about it. I was like, oh, my God, that's right. And when you have that was a tough game for the Patriots. And they pulled it out.
But again, this is what gets me about this. Yeah, Brady and the Patriots came back in the fourth quarter, But how many people have you heard, like, actually sit down and talk about how they did it? Field position played a gigantic role in that. I mean, if you were to sit there and not watch the game, and you just watched or read stories about how it played out, you would think that Brady took the Patriots on an epic 42-play march from Hopkinton to Foxborough to win the game. It was a 30-yard drive after a punt return after out of the end zone. I mean, it was a 20-yard punt return by Danny Amendola. They already were in field goal range to tie the game because Belichick did the right thing. You know, he elected to play field position football, and it paid off for him. That's just good football.
Now, I'm not going to pick on the Steelers at all because they're a great team. They win every year. But would Belichick have kicked an onside kick? Or would he have said, you know what, we prepared our defense for this situation and we're going to go with our game plan? I think Pittsburgh would have won that game had they let their defense go out and play.
Oh, that was just a momentary lapse of reason for Tomlin. I just think at that point he just didn't trust his defense.
I agree with that, but let's not forget, Belichick's had a long career and he's had a lot of decisions to make. But remember, he's also the same coach that went for it in fourth down at midfield against Indianapolis in the AFC Championship game. Everybody has their decisions along the way that they make. Great coaches like Belichick, most of them execution-wise do pan out. Every once in a while they don't. Now, do I think it was the right call? No, because the percentage on that play is so low. The Steelers had not recovered an onside kick since 2007.
Yeah, and I don't think you can compare. You're talking about Belichick going on fourth down, but he's putting the ball in Tom Brady's hands. Right. You like your chances, you know.
It's a far better odds than an onside kick.
But at least your best player had the ball in his hands.
Plus, the onside kick has the rules have changed as to how many players you're allowed to have on one side of the ball. And they've done that, obviously, for liability.
Play Belichick never would have made that call. I was screaming in my chair, what are you doing? Because I wanted Pittsburgh to win the game. And I'm like, what are you doing? I was like, God, there's 2.5 minutes left. If you give Ben a minute and a half, he's going to win the football game. But you got to give him a minute and a half. You know, you can't take a low percentage play and hang your whole season on it. I was stunned by that. And I'm not picking on the Steelers because I think they're a great football team. I'm just saying that was a call in a game that the Patriots would not have made that call. And that's not luck. That's not a referee's call. That's not anything. That's just a football call.
And like I said, we've had a long career like Belichick. And my point was just bringing up the fourth down thing. That was about, not trusting your defense, but, you are giving it to Brady. But in other words, Belichick's made a couple of calls, too, where you sit back and go, all right, that was interesting.
For sure.
And most of them have worked. I mean, Parcells would make calls on fourth down fakes and things like that, even when he did in the Super Bowl against Denver, where he ran a fake with the backup quarterback, number 17, Rutledge. He brought him in as the punt protector, Jeff Rutledge, and they ran a quarterback sneak with him on a fourth down punt play at midfield. So sometimes they work and you're proclaimed a genius, just like Sean Payton went for an onside kick to start the second half of the Super Bowl against the Colts. All right.
Yeah, but the game's not on the line there.
Oh, no, I'm saying, though, those are plays. I'm talking about plays that work where you're like, hey, you're an genius. You're an absolute genius. Yeah. Well, what if he kicked the onside kick and Manning had the ball at the 45-yard line? Uh-oh. Not so smart anymore.
Very true.
So when it works, you are really smart. When it doesn't work,
you hit the nail right on the head. When it works, you're a genius, and when it doesn't, you get people like me criticized. But the Patriots, they play a really good brand of football, and it's Tom Brady's done it with a lot of different players. You know, it's not. Gosh, you never know who he's going to hand the ball off to each year. The running back for Philadelphia was his running back last year.
I know.
But he makes it happen one way or another. I don't understand the hatred for the guy. You know, well, he's a good man.
Part of it's jealousy. So, just like with LeBron James, like take LeBron James. There are a lot of people that don't like LeBron James. Well, what has LeBron James ever done? Let's see. He married his high school sweetheart. Evidently, has a beautiful family. Gives back to the community. And let's see. Let's count all the times LeBron James has had an off the court incident. Oh, that's right. None. Right.
Yeah.
But he also is the biggest winner in his sport.
You're putting an exclamation point on my point. Is leave these guys alone. They're football players, you know. If they go out and they do, if you want to get into Brett Favre, if you want to get into stuff some of these guys have done, Brady's never done any of that stuff. He just goes to work and comes home, you know. And like I said, I'm not a Patriot fan. I probably am going to pick the Eagles because I've been on their wagon all year. But I just, God, the negativity on all these radio stations, it's awful. Half the stuff they're saying is not even true. They don't have any facts to back anything up. They just, like, who's this guy, John Ritchie, a former running back? The Patriots filmed our practice. No, they didn't. It's like, what are you talking about? The film was of defensive signals. But the last I've seen, everybody in the stadium, about 80,000 people, have a video camera in their hands. You know, you can video anything you want. So Patriots took a beating on it and then won the Super Bowl.
Well, and again, it's just, they win all the time, or the perception is they win all the time.
Well, but that's why people hate the Yankees.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, exactly. No, that's right. Yeah. Yankees have their fans, and fans all over the country love them because they do win, and they've got people all over the country that don't like them because they win. It's, you know, it's the same result, just a different emotion that goes with it. I know I've always been, you know me, Kev, I've always been very fact-based.
You would never go on the air without facts. If you had a criticism, you would substantiate it with a fact. I have a problem with these guys who just blurt out stuff without facts. It's like reading the headline of an article and not reading the article. You know.
But you know what's interesting about that? And management is probably not going to like me saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I've never cared about ratings. Ever. If it happens, it happens. If we get more listeners, it happens. I've always felt that it was my responsibility to do the best show and the most accurate show I could.
And I
always felt that if I did that, maybe it would attract people to say, okay, I feel like I learned more about something because I listened to the show.
Yep.
I've never gone out there with the idea of like, hey, let's be sensationalized and get as many people as possible, because I always thought that was the wrong way to do it.
It is the wrong way. You do it the right way. I'm proud of you.
Well, proud of you too.
No.
AFC, NFC.
AFC.
NFC.
Okay.
I'll go with the NFC. Let's see if, because Sean and I are tied.
Yep.
Look, we're battling for pickles here.
That's right.
Now I realize that the Gambling Commission is starting to ask questions about this, but it is just pickles, I swear.
I want the cash.
I want the 1% cut the NBA's getting.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the Barrels of the Dills, indeed second to none. Nora Princiati has joined us on the show before. We're thrilled to have her back. Nora, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's good to be here.
It's good to hear you, too. I want to start, a lot of people will start with Tom Brady, and I'm going to start there as well. So I'm going to try a little different way of discussing him. In this era where there's been so much turnover in personnel based on how the rules and salary caps work out, the Patriots have brilliantly kept themselves near the top. Is there something about Brady's personality that makes it easier to adapt personality-wise, so that he's always able to figure out what works and what doesn't work for the people that are brought in to work with him?
Do you mean like receivers? Like the on-field talent?
Receivers, offensive linemen, different running backs.
Yeah, well, I mean, Brady has probably reinvented himself as a player. I mean, in significant ways, probably three or four times over the course of his career. I mean, he, you know, in the beginning, it's funny to think back here, he was really thought of as a game manager kind of guy. And, you know, I don't use that in a pejorative sense, but he was really considered a guy who could, you know, get you down the field, not make big mistakes, let the defense win a lot of games for you. And then, you know, in the Randy Moss years, he certainly developed a deep ball in a way that he hadn't really had before. You know, that's never going to be his calling card, but yeah, they were taking a lot more shots. And then he's had this sort of late stage of his career where he really excels in, you know, the short passes, the underneath stuff, working with slot receivers and tight ends and using running backs in the passing game. And so, you know, that's a great observation that I don't know if it's that he necessarily adapts himself to specific players, but he's almost adapted himself to different eras of football, really. You know, it's kind of crazy that one guy's career can span that, but his has, and he's certainly done that.
You know, usually when a team wins, it's very easy for anyone to make the observation that, oh, what a great coaching job they've done. But you and I have both been around where sometimes a team either doesn't win or has a good season, and that staff, because of circumstances, did a great job. You know, if I were to pick eight top players on the Patriots going into the season, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, and Dante Hightower would be on my list of eight. They've won with missing, you know, two of them almost all season and one for a chunk of the season. How good of a coaching job, actually, did Belichick and his staff do?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think particularly if you look on defense, it's pretty remarkable because you mentioned Hightower, but so Derek Rivers is their top pick in the draft, and yep, who, you know, as a pass rusher, looked early in camp like he was going to be able to contribute right away. There's only four guys in their front seven on defense who have played all 16 games, and I'm talking about four guys, you know, backups included. So anyone who's in that rotation at linebacker or on the defensive line. And all four of those guys, two of them are rookies, Dietrich Wise and Adam Butler. And then, oh gosh, I'm gonna blank on the fourth, but Lawrence Guy, it's going to bug me that I can't come up with the fourth one, but I remember the stat. None of them had been with the team before this year. So then, you know, you're not just getting over the losses of Dante Hightower, to a lesser extent Shay McClellan, also missing Trey Flowers for a couple of games. Kyle Van Noy was out for a couple games. Malcolm Brown was out for a game. So to really patch that front together, and I'm not saying that that's the strength of the team, but they were able to survive in games where they were going in with people who had to play significant snaps, being guys like Eric Lee, who'd been on the Bills practice squad like 5 days before the first game that he played in and got a sack, and then I think got a sack and a half the next week. You know, James Harrison, obviously he's not anonymous in that same way, but they bring these guys in and get them up to speed so quickly. And like I said, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Patriots defense has set the world on fire, because they haven't, but they've been in some situations this year where you should be expecting disaster. Like, they're out of guys, and the number of guys that they have on IR is greater than it has been in other years where they've won the Super Bowl. And now, obviously, they have not won the Super Bowl yet, but we're talking about years like when they lose to the Broncos in the AFC Championship game. Usually, the number of guys that they've had hurt correlates to them leaving the playoffs before getting to the Super Bowl, and they've found a way to do it.
Well, to me, Chris Hogan is a lacrosse player here at Penn State. In fact, he was a very high-level recruit here at Penn State as a lacrosse player. And to be honest with you, Nora, he fulfilled that. He was really good. But he never went out for the football team here. and he ended up going to Monmouth for his final year of eligibility. He was good with the Bills. How valuable has he been for the Patriots the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think they've really liked having him. He's a guy that developed Brady's trust pretty quickly, which that matters, because if you're one of those guys that Tom just in practice doesn't totally love the demeanor or something, you can really see that. And, you know, there's guys like Philip Dorsett, who, and I'm not saying that he's not, you know, doing his part in practice. I don't really know what it is, but a really talented guy, a guy who clearly has a lot of skill, you know, given where he's drafted, but they just have not gotten it together. And he's really done nothing all season. And so it's not a given that Brady's going to have that trust and that good communication with a guy. And Hogan, it was almost immediate. And, you know, I think he's fit in really well with sort of the Brady, Edelman, Amendola, buddy group. I think people in the locker room like him. I think the coaching staff likes him. I think they like how he takes care of his body, how he prepares himself. And so he's really been, he seems like a Patriot since he's gotten here.
Well, in fact, you bring up the critical word. It's not talked about often enough, and that's trust. I mean, the guys that play are the ones trusted by the coaching staff. The ones that make plays are trusted by the quarterback. And it seems that the Patriots have done a good job of bringing in players along the way that may not be stars but end up having a level of dependability that the staff and the quarterback trust. Fair enough?
Absolutely. I mean, we've been talking about Danny Amendola around here a lot because he's had such an incredible run in these playoffs so far, and he's a really good example of that. You know, a guy who they brought in, signed him to a fairly significant contract, took some heat for that. They've restructured him, I think, 3 years in a row at this point. So, first of all, they have not paid him anywhere near the original sticker price of that contract, and he's just been, you know, above and beyond here. Maybe not in terms of things like durability. They certainly manage his snap count, and he has been injured. But when the light for the brightest in the biggest moments. He has contributed some really significant plays here and kind of, you know, made his own sacrifices in terms of taking pay cuts to stay here. And, I wouldn't hold it against a player for a second if they didn't want to do that, but sometimes those things work out in New England, and he's definitely a good example of that.
Final question, Nora, I'll let you go, as I really appreciate the time you're giving us today. And that's the matchup itself. Here's a matchup of a couple teams that have not played each other this year. So what do you look at this matchup, and what are a couple things that you're thinking about initially that you think could be important in this game?
Right. Well, so the number one thing to me, I will confess I don't feel like I have a good handle on this yet. I honestly don't know if I, even through film study, will be able to get a great handle on this because it's just kind of random. But what Nick Foles are we getting? Because
right.
Nick Foles from last
season, I think Doug Peterson has the same question you do.
Right, yeah, exactly. If it's the Nick Foles who beat the Vikings, then I think that anything that I might feel inclined to say to you here about it really being up to Philly's defensive front to give Brady a super hard time so that the offense can, the Philly offense can try to keep pace, that might not be quite as true anymore. You know, Brady might be needing to really put up some points, because if it's sort of the right after Carson Wentz got hurt, Nick Foles, then if Brady can get to 21, I think he's fine. And
yeah.
I think the Patriots could get to 21 against this Eagles defense, even though it's very good and it's very deep. But again, last week's version of Nick Foles, I think you've probably got to get to more than 21, and that's when you start to go, man, this could actually be a tough one for the Patriots. Because I do think, and I've thought for a while, and a couple times I had to eat my words a little bit, that the Patriots are not incredibly talented. This is not an incredibly talented roster. So at a certain point, and, maybe even in the Super Bowl against a backup quarterback, you don't reach that point. Maybe it's just not going to happen. But at a certain point, the fact that the guys that you're putting out there overall, in terms of balance and depth, are not as talented as the roster that I think Howie Roseman has done just an incredible job of putting together in Philly. You know, the quarterback is sort of the great equalizer there, of thing that tips the scales and makes you question saying that, because obviously there's a big part of me that wants to pick the Eagles, and then I think to myself, man, can I justify picking Nick Foles against Tom Brady in this spot? And it's pretty hard to, but I do think that, particularly on defense, the Eagles don't have a lot of weaknesses, and if they can really get that interior pocket pressure on Brady, make it so that he can't step up in the pocket and beat the rush from the outside, then it could be a long night. Sort of a long night that I think some of us in New England have been feeling like it could be coming, and then it just never comes. So, maybe I'll be wrong again, but we'll see.
Nora, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. I always enjoy the conversation and the insight very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Nora Princiati from the Boston Globe. We will come back and we'll wrap up this week's shows in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet.
Hey, we're coming to you from the lot at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. We had to stop because up on their sign, it says 0% financing for 75 months. We had to check it out ourselves. I mean, it can't be right, but it is. Your interest rate will stay at 0% for 75 months. That's over 6 years. This incredible deal is on 2018 Kia Fortes, Optimus, Sportages, and Serranos. There's also no payments for 3 months. Now, that's the best value you're going to find anywhere. Plus, every Kia offers the industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And they have the highest-ranked large car compact compact car, small SUV, midsize SUV, and compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality, according to J.D. Power. The sign is true. 0% financing for up to 75 months. Come on, honk if you love it too.
We want to see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
We'll see you here at Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotorskia.com.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com. J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. It's a dealer for details.
All right, big shows this week. Enjoyed it very much. Super Bowl's next week. And then after that, the Olympics start.
Less than 2 weeks away.
You know what? You and I are going to need to go to Brewers Outlet to endure that. All right, so the suit asked us if we would do, what did he want us to do?
To bring back the Olympic fun facts segment that you did in 2014 during the Sochi Games. We'll think about it.
Let's start with the first Olympic fun fact. What makes February 22nd so important?
The Olympics are over.
It's the closing ceremony. All right, there we go.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.